Welcome to this week's edition of Hockey Unfiltered with Ken Campbell. I'm Dylan Waugh. I'm Ken's sidekick. I guess I'll go with Smithers to Mr. Burns this week. Why not? It's kind of basic. But what we lack in an imaginative sidekick reference, we make up for in our very imaginative trade talk. So check us out on Twitter at HockeyNoFilter, at Ken underscore Campbell 27. Of course, at underscore Dylan Waugh. And we have some trades to talk about. Really quick, don't think about it. Just answer. Best trade deadline you can ever remember. Like, best trading period.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one?
Oh my goodness.
Sure, for sure.
Nonstop dopamine, eh?
Yeah, it was, when I covered the Leafs for the Toronto Star, as I've brought up a couple of times on this podcast.
You did what?
Yeah. There were a couple, like 2003 and 2004 were pretty crazy.
Yeah.
2003 was the year they got Doug Gilmour at the trade deadline, and then he lasted like three shifts and had to crawl
was
off
it
the
that
ice.
Many shifts?
Yeah, it wasn't many. It wasn't very many. It might have been even his first shift. I can't remember. Anyways, I was in Calgary that night for the game, and Alexander McGillney had left the team for reasons that I won't get into. And Gilmour was playing his first game. Something was going on in Calgary too with some trade they were making.
Yeah.
And like, it was just a crazy, crazy night. And then the next year, of course, they go out, they get Ron Francis, Brian Leetch, you know, a whole bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And, in a bid to win the Stanley Cup, and they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking last night?
Tell me.
I was thinking, if the Leafs don't win in the first round of the playoffs,
yeah,
there will be players in the NHL next season who will not have been on this earth for a single Leafs playoff round victory.
Okay, so
Connor Bedard will be one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a couple of guys from this year's draft, but they were all born in like February, January.
Yeah, so it's kind of splitting hairs, but now we're starting
No, because they won in 04. They won one round.
Right. So here's what a friend texted me.
Yep.
I don't know if you're superstitious. I'm not superstitious at all, which is weird because I'm a goalie. But the last time the Leafs got out of the first round, they had a dirtbag on their blue line named McCabe.
Right.
So be very excited, I guess, Leafs fans.
Be excited, yeah.
Before we really get into it, we got a ton of reviews.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Great hockey podcast, add to your rotation. If you are looking for something new, as always, love the insights from Ken. Ben Hen 27.
Ben
in
Hen.
The U.S.
Thank you, Ben Hen. I love you.
I
No, I do.
Got emotional.
Well, no. I mean, that's so nice of him to say.
Is that a manly tear on your cheek there?
No, I'm slicing onions.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Great hockey podcast. I've always enjoyed Ken Campbell's irreverent take on the NHL. You're a reverend? This is news to me.
I'm Reverend Ken Campbell. There is a Reverend Ken Campbell.
Ken Campbell's got to be a pretty common name.
I used to get calls for that guy. Like,
oh,
he,
did you?
Because in the 80s and 90s, he was a huge pro-life guy.
Oh, okay.
And it was the Reverend Ken Campbell.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact,
you could have really screwed him
Murray
over
Townsend,
getting those
Murray
calls.
Murray Townsend, who used to do stats for the Hockey News.
Yeah.
Always, when he'd call the Hockey News when I was working there, he'd be like, Reverend?
Reverend, take on the NHL. He and Dylan are a great team. By far and away, my favorite podcast of the week. Keep up the work, guys.
Keep up the work?
Yeah.
Keep up the fair work.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, thank you so much for those.
Next one. That was Rutopels 1.
Okay,
in
Rutopels.
The U.S.
You're the best.
Enjoying the podcast, my top choice in hockey podcasts. I enjoy your candid views on some subjects others choose to just avoid, don't clearly understand. Being a Habs fan, this is in the States as well, I also appreciate your occasional comment on the team's progress, even if they aren't currently in the upper tier of the league. Firstly, B-leaguer in Georgia, I think that is.
Nice.
The Habs are always in the upper tier of the league. Let's just get one thing ironed out right here and now.
Yeah,
okay, 24 cups.
I was in Montreal last Saturday, and I'm going to divert a bit here.
Yeah.
Because myself, Kevin McGran from the Star.
Yeah.
who replaced me after I left the Star when I worked there to cover the Leafs, and Mike Zeisberger.
Yeah.
We all drove to Montreal last Saturday morning.
Yeah, I wasn't invited, but that's fine.
Yeah, because we don't like you. Well, I don't like you, and I told them.
And they don't know me.
I told them what you're like.
they said, that guy doesn't sound like somebody we'd like at all.
No. So anyways, we drove to Montreal.
Yeah.
Because it was Jack, or sorry, Pat Hickey's. Jack Todd, I was thinking Jack. It was Pat Hickey's. He should have been there. Jack Todd should have been there.
I was wondering
anyways,
that. Yeah.
Anyways, well, Michael Farber was there. Stu Cowan was there. Yeah. We met up with Ron Roosh in the bar afterwards at Hurley's.
Yeah.
But anyways, we went there because it was Pat Hickey's covering his last game as a beat writer for the Montreal Gazette.
Yeah.
He's been in the newspaper business for 58 years.
Yeah.
And he basically left. He retired. He's 78.
Yeah.
You know, so he's had a pretty good run.
Yeah.
But he retired basically so that someone else at the Gazette would not lose her job.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn noble as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
We thought that was amazing. So we went down. We had a great time at the game. The Canadians lost to the Ottawa Senators, but there was Nick Suzuki put him up 2-1.
Yeah.
With a really nice goal.
Yep.
In the second period. That place and that, remember, this is Ottawa and Montreal.
Two non-playoff
teams. It's effectively
teams.
A nothing game.
Yeah.
Neither of them is making the playoffs. Yeah. Neither of them is gonna win the draft lottery, probably.
Right.
Right? So this is basically a nothing game. And on a Saturday night, he puts them up 2-1 in the second period. That place was louder than I've ever heard the Scotiabank Center. And I mean that.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so nice to be in an arena where they're not constantly yelling at people.
Yeah.
To be loud and you're the best fans in the league and here's a bunch of t-shirts we're going to throw it to people go nuts and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It was just so nice to be in a place where you know you're at a hockey game.
The energy at the Bell Center is special.
Yeah.
There's certain places that are kind of like on my bucket list to go to that I think have similar energies.
Yeah.
Nashville's one of them.
Nashville's great.
Yeah, Nashville's one of
Vegas
them.
Vegas actually has done it. Has done.
I want to go. Vegas is on
Vegas
that list
has
too.
Done. Vegas has done an outstanding job.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was that, and then you know, but kudos to Pat Hickey, you know, a guy who's been in our business for a long, long time, you know, basically got beaten down and beaten out because I think the tipping point for him was number one that he knew that when Post Media made their cuts that. Somebody young was going to lose their job,
mm-hmm.
Younger.
Yeah.
And also, I think there was one night where they played Ottawa in Ottawa on a Saturday night and the paper would not pay his expenses to go there.
Right.
To drive 2 hours to the game and come back.
Yeah.
Like, and then it was just like, screw this, you know? And so now he's going to write some books and, yeah, good guy. Always enjoyed him. He's a great guy. We went to Hurley's after.
Yeah.
Drank way, way too much. Way too much. It was great.
Favorite Pat Hickey memory before we get off the subject?
I don't know if there's one. Like, he's a master storyteller.
Yeah.
Like, he tells a story. He weaves this story about how he's cousins with Bill Walton, you know, and I'm like, what? And how Bill Walton was backpacking through Canada and came to his house and stayed with him and stuff like that. But just the fact that he was so like such an old school guy, he wouldn't fly anymore. He would drive. Like if they played in Boston, he'd drive. If they played in New York, he'd drive.
Yeah.
If they played in Carolina, he might drive, you know, like it was just, he's just a throwback and just a great, you know, just a really, really good man.
Yeah. My favorite is when he corrected Carey Price on his grammar in a post-game interview.
Nice. What did Price do?
Just gave him a look. Sort of bemused. Like, it was kind of before the media totally beat down Price.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like a bemused look. It was kind of just like, I can't believe that this guy just corrected me from who to whom.
That's
like,
awesome.
You know what I mean?
Awesome. I remember once I was talking to Curtis Joseph and I said, what has got you so flummoxed?
Yeah.
Because he was going through a period where he wasn't great.
Yeah.
And he looks at me, he goes, flummoxed. He says, that's a good word.
Okay, one more review. Good show. The guys give good insight from different perspectives and play well off each other. Go Expos via Apple Podcast Canada. And there was an edit to the person that said to fast forward through Dylan, if I may. Edit to add, that was harsh. I might have been having a bad day. Dylan is solid, went on topic. It's not a bad balance to Ken at times. Just keep it tight. And to that I say, tough but
thanks,
fair.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, tough but fair is about the same thing, I'd say.
Yeah.
If you've ever met my mother, which I don't think you have.
I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't.
You live like blocks from each other. I mean, there's
Do we? Oh,
well,
okay. Cool.
I mean, she's just down Vic Park, right?
Like, oh, well, she can come over for a cup of sugar if she needs one.
I mean, you guys have like a food basic right in between you, so, you know.
Right, yeah. Right, okay. I mean,
if she's going for a cup of sugar.
She can just stop there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Figured, yeah. You know. That would be kind of creepy anyways. So
it'd be a little weird.
Get out of here, Dylan's mother.
So. Let's talk about some trades.
Okay.
So we're going to just go.
Whoop-dee-doo.
We're going to shoot through a few of these trades, and then we're going to spend more time focusing on big picture. But the reason why I say that I want to kind of go through a lot more than just the highlights of these trades is because of these reviews. Mm. Clearly, there are people that, probably only these three people, that actually care about what we have to say.
It's amazing.
It's mind-boggling. Yeah.
I think before we start any of this,
yeah,
we have to have a massive, like a enormous Grand Canyon size caveat that 5 minutes after I drive out of your driveway,
yeah, a huge trade is
there. Could
drop.
Be a whole bunch of crap that happens that makes some of this stuff maybe moot.
Like Chychrun we're gonna talk
about Jacob Chychrun,
and
it may very well end up being something that you go through because he's been dealt.
Yeah,
but that's my kind of my hot take though.
Is that a hot take?
No, that he's not going to get dealt.
Oh,
that's my hot take.
Okay, I was going to say you're losing your touch on your hot takes.
No, my hot take is that Friday he's still an Arizona Coyote.
Okay,
that's a hot take, everybody.
That's a pretty hot take.
Like that's all it is. It's a hot take. It's not like that's what's going to happen. It's not like you're an idiot if he got traded. That's my hot take. Because why don't we just talk about that for now? Because we're into it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So the way I see it is, you know, Boston did their thing with Orlov.
Yeah. Boston was in on them.
Yeah. Boston was in on them. LA was in on them. They couldn't wait any longer. They went out and got Gavrikov.
Yeah. Carolina's in on them.
Yeah. Did they get anybody? No. I mean, Toronto kind of redid their defense a little bit.
Yeah.
With Shannon Gustafson.
Yeah.
And the moves they made.
And McCabe.
Yes.
Yeah. Which feels like a year ago. Yeah. It was like 4 days.
Yeah. Exactly. And so to me, like the teams that seem to be the ones honing in on them.
Yeah.
Have all kind of said, we got to do something. We got to move on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Edmonton is the other one. They went out and got Ekholm.
Yeah,
you know,
that was huge.
Instead of chasing Chychrun.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, like I'm reading on Twitter now that and the insiders and I respect them because they're following this stuff a lot more closer than I am. Is that teams are now waiting for the price to drop on Jacob Chychrun.
Waiting
for that, you're Esther Doe or whatever that guy's name is. You're waiting for Godot. Because it ain't dropping.
Yeah.
Why would Bill Armstrong, and again, caveat, this might all change in 10 minutes. Why would Bill Armstrong go this distance and hold out for this long and then trade him for pennies on the dollar?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Particularly when you've got him still. You've got
right,
him
for years.
This is not a trade. This is not a trade that has to, from Arizona's perspective, has to be made now. You know what I mean? It doesn't, like from other teams' perspectives, they would like to have him, but this is not a trade that has to be made from Arizona's side right now. They've already got a ton of picks.
Yeah.
They're already going to have a great pick. Maybe the first pick.
Yeah.
Although Chicago, I got to think. Two huge losses in 2 days. Plus, they've traded half their team. So I like Chicago's chances. But you've still got him for 2 more years after this year at 4.6.
Yeah.
Like, there is no, there is zero, in my opinion, other than the fact that they've sat him out for the last week and a half, which which will be awkward.
Yeah.
There's no sense of urgency on
Jacob. How is Florida? Welcome back. Actually, it's Arizona, so he doesn't need to go to Florida.
There's no sense of urgency on their part to trade him. And they're actually playing okay without him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they're actually doing okay without him. So I could definitely see a scenario where Jacob Chychrun is still an Arizona Coyote on Friday at 3 o'clock.
I've said it before. I said it in a roundabout way, and I'll just say it one more time. I don't think that there's a price too high for Jacob Chychrun.
Right.
I just don't.
Well, especially when you see what people are giving up for guys now.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, like, we've seen teams pay a first to get rid of $4 million of cap space.
Right, right.
So if you say that he's, let's say, comparative to a lot of defensemen, $4 million underpaid, then that's one first right there before you've even started talking about the player.
Right.
That's all I have to say on it. I just, with teams, especially like LA, that are entering their window, and Carolina, who are in their window and plan on running this team back several times, especially with teams like that, I just don't look. Tampa, different story. Way different story.
Yeah.
Even Boston, a different story, because Boston, they might not have Krejci or Bergeron next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. And so maybe you don't really care about what that cost certainty is for those next few years.
Right.
But for a team that's in their window with a young core, I just, there's just not a price high enough that I can think of that, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Anyways, whatever.
Well, and look at what Edmonton did and what they gave up.
Yeah.
Right? They gave up a guy that, and Tyson Barrie, that has been part of a, like, historically good power play.
Yeah.
Like, the last couple of years, the Edmonton Oilers have had probably a top five power play in NHL history.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So they gave him up. They gave up Reed Schaefer in a really good prospect and a first round pick.
And a fourth.
And a fourth to get Ekholm. And they added caps, you know, they took on more caps, cap space. Unless I'm not sure if the trades are all going so crazy right now.
Yeah.
Like, so they retain salary through the life of the deal, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe there's actually not that much that's being.
The Predators retain $250,000, which is 4% of the.
Oh, that's it, 4%.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're taking on $6 million, right?
Yeah.
And what was Barrie?
5.75 million. Barrie was at 4.5.
No, he was at 6.25.
Oh, so okay. Pardon me.
So they're taking on six.
Yeah.
And Barrie was at 4.5. So they've taken on a buck and a half.
Yeah.
In salary cap commitments.
Yeah.
They gave up a first rounder, they gave up a roster player, and they gave up a top prospect.
Yeah.
So for Matthias Ekholm, so Jacob Chychrun, who comes in at a buck and a half cheaper.
Yeah.
Over the next 2 years, less term on his contract.
Yeah.
You know, probably a more impactful player. Maybe not for the Edmonton Oilers. I think the Edmonton Oilers got what they needed to get.
Ekholm's a good player for them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, what have I been saying every time we talk about the Edmonton Oilers? What do I say about them?
They need somebody rugged.
Well, I also say they don't have an NHL caliber defense corps.
Yeah.
They don't. Course. I think Desharnais has really helped them.
Yeah.
I think he's helped them a lot.
Yeah.
And this gives them that guy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. You know, are you robbing Peter to pay Paul? I mean, obviously Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and all those guys that they have on the power play are great players, but we're going to find out what Tyson Barrie meant to that power play.
I don't think as much.
You don't think so, eh?
No, I mean, here's the thing. I said it last week. I talked about McDavid's drop off at 5-on-5 scoring compared to the power play scoring, and the thing that I think about is because 5-on-5 face offs take place wherever,
Yep.
Right? On the power play,
mostly in the
8 out of 10 faceoffs are taking place in the offensive zone. Therefore, the defense isn't lugging that puck up.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically just like, it's like get McDavid into the offensive zone in some sort of a moderately controlled way, and he will do the rest, and the defense has not even been able to do that much for him.
Yeah.
That's how I'd put it.
Well, you may 100% be right, but the fact of the matter is we are going to find out what he meant to that power play. If they're clicking along at, 28%, through the playoffs and through the rest of the season in the playoffs, and they don't miss a beat, then But if not, then you're like, okay.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't think you can discount how popular Tyson Barry was with his teammates. I think he and McDavid were particularly close.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that robots felt emotion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you see him after he scored 50 goals? Yeah, it's just a number. Yeah, whatever. And that wasn't even before they lost. Like, it was during the game. And it's just a number.
Yeah.
It's just a number. I'm happy, I guess.
But some of these guys are, like, they're so boring hockey player that it's actually fun and funny. Like, Tavares is another guy like that.
But they're like that, but they're not like that in real life.
Yeah.
They're not like that in real life. They're not.
No, eh?
No. I bet you McDavid is, like, a pretty, like, awesome dude to be around.
Yeah.
When he's not, doesn't have a microphone in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he's not being bombarded by a couple at an airport.
Yeah.
Best picture. Best picture ever. Yeah. So let's move on a little bit. I think that trade is like, they need a minute muncher.
Yep.
They need a guy who can get the puck moving in the right direction.
They need a guy who can kill penalties. They need a guy who can clear the front of the net. They need a guy who can, like, he's
Matthias Ekholm.
There's guys who are, they talk about 200-foot forwards.
Yeah.
This guy's a 200-foot defenseman.
Absolutely.
Right? You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm taking credit for that phrase. Like, I've been trying to push that phrase for the last couple of years. Hasn't caught on yet.
You're trying to radio yourself?
Hasn't caught on yet. But I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's going to catch on like wildfire.
Yeah.
And they're all going to go, oh, yeah. Who came up with that term?
Kenny Campbell.
This guy.
Kenny C.
This guy.
Yeah. What has two thumbs and came up with 200-foot defensemen? There you go.
And they're opposable.
Uh-oh. Are they?
Mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, because sometimes I don't get texts back.
Oh,
so I was assuming that they might not be.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
bringing it all around.
That
yeah.
should tell you something.
Oh, right. You don't like me. We already established that.
Well, no,
I like you.
It's just sometimes when you call, it's like I'm like, oh, what is he going to keep me on the phone for half an hour with this time?
I keep you on the phone.
And when you call me, it's like, it'll be like, hello. And then you'll be like, you don't even like say, hey, how's it going? You just go like, oh my God, the Habs are blah, 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 blah.
Okay, but I do that because I know you don't want to be on the phone for half an hour.
I was coaching today and the blah, 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 or whatever. Like, it's like, oh, okay.
Let me ask you something.
What?
Of the anecdotes firstly, I do that because I know that you don't want to be on the phone for half an hour, so I don't waste your time with pleasantries.
Right.
Secondly, most people I do. Secondly, what would you say that my batting average is in terms of my anecdotes being amusing or not amusing?
Oh,
it's pretty good.
Why, it's pretty high. I don't think it's as good as you think.
I think it's better than I think.
Oh, okay. So then I really don't think it's as good as you think.
All right. Listen, Boston Bruins get Dmitry Orlov.
Yep.
A few little pieces
and
going.
And he scores 2 goals last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and Garnet.
Which they got him for his goal scoring prowess, as we all know.
And Garnet Hathaway.
Yeah. Oh, pardon me.
Who's like an arse.
Yeah.
Like, who's an arse
that
you just would hate to play against.
Yeah. Well, remember last week I was saying how the Bruins aren't the biggest prick team anymore?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're making moves.
Well, Tampa's right there, too.
Tampa. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
First, third, second.
10th, 12th.
Yeah. To be honest, and like I said about Boston and thinking that they weren't necessarily a great fit for Chychrun, all futures, nothing off the roster.
Yep.
That's what you want for if you've got your number one and number two centers on 1-year deals and there's no guarantees next year, right?
Yeah.
And even if they re-sign, there's no guarantees because they're old.
Well, there's too many teams right now that are going for broke.
Yeah.
Like, they got to realize
Don't say that. There is... No, I love it.
Yeah, okay. No, it's great.
Yeah.
But they got to realize that only one team's going to be left standing. Like,
well, that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
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 I love
it. I mean, to me, what Boston's doing is incredible.
Yeah.
I just keep going back to 1971.
Yeah. It's a little before my time.
Well, they won the cup in 70 and 72.
Yeah.
The best team they had might have been the 71 team.
Right, the one that lost to Ken Dryden.
Seven games in the first round.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens.
Well, it wouldn't be the Montreal.
To another Canadian team. No, wait a second.
No, Toronto's set for Tampa.
Yeah, that's Tampa. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be what?
We don't know because the wild card race is super open right now.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that last week. Let's move on from Dmitry Orlov. Don't need to talk about Shane Bowers for Keith Kincaid. That guy's not playing anymore. Like, just being honest.
Stop it. Like, don't even, like, what are you doing?
Okay.
Like, why are you even mentioning stuff like that?
Are you familiar with the term trolling?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Because yeah, yeah. I know you don't want to.
Shane Bowers was a hell of a prospect at one time.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a first round pick?
I don't remember.
Well,
okay, right now Boston's set to meet Pittsburgh.
If there were only a portal we could go to.
Right now Boston's set to meet Pittsburgh.
Okay.
In the first round.
I like Boston's chances a lot, a lot, a lot.
I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, he was drafted first round 2017.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on.
Wow.
Nino Niederreiter for a second round pick.
Great for Winnipeg.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just gives them the depth that they need.
Yep, absolutely.
Evgeny Dadonov.
Although they, wow, they are sucking the hinder right
oh,
now.
Oh, they're really.
They are sucking the hind boob right now. Oh my God. Like, what? What? Come on.
Yeah, it's not ideal for them.
Yep.
Where was I? Evgeny Dadonov for Denis Gurianov.
Okay, you have stuff you want to say about this.
No, I just think it's hilarious.
I do too.
What
does Dadonov give you that Gurianov doesn't?
Nothing.
Like I yeah, that one I don't get. That one.
How Kent Hughes sold that is, I don't know, masterful.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, can we give you somebody that has at this exact moment the exact same skill and talent as the person that you have, but yours is younger and bigger?
Yeah.
And now don't go saying yes right away, because let me add something. The trade is one for one. Is there much more to say on that?
Well, there is.
And Dallas takes on salary.
Yeah. You know what? Jim Nill's an amazing general manager.
What are you going to say?
There's something, you know, he knows something. That
don't worry, because Montreal has never made a reclamation project work in the last 2 years.
Right.
If you discount Sean Monahan, Kirby Dach, and every other reclamation project.
To a lesser extent, Alexander Radulov. That's not in the last 2 years.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Barbashev?
Mike Hoffman? Oh, wait a minute. No. Wait a second. Wait a second.
But he wasn't supposed to be reclamation project. He was the other way around.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was supposed to be like, hey, look, we're getting somebody to score in the power play.
Okay, so now he's a reclamation project.
Yeah. Montreal has both fixed and created reclamation projects is what they've done.
Sometimes I forget that Christian Dvorak plays for Montreal.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I just totally
forget.
In
fairness, though, he's been injured a lot.
Because I'll see a game where he scores and it's like, oh, yeah, he plays for them. That's right.
Yeah, I remember when he was the second coming of Mark Messier.
Yeah.
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 Ivan Barbashev.
Now he's not even the second coming of Radek Dvorak. He's not even the second coming of the composer Dvorak.
Okay, wow. You went very into the deep dives there.
Like, I didn't think maybe that you were Dvorak, the composer, might give him a run for his money as a hockey player. I don't know.
Who knows? I don't think he had the chance.
This is getting stupid.
And for once, it's not me.
Yeah.
There's going to be another edit to that review that's going to be like, you know what, Ken?
Yeah.
You can stay on track a little yourself.
Shut your pie hole.
Ivan Barbashev for Zach Dean.
Very good trade for St. Louis, in my opinion. Zach Dean's a really good prospect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those ones where both teams get what they want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Barbashev's a good player.
He really is.
I'm actually surprised that St. Louis traded him.
He really is a good player. He's an excellent player.
Yeah. Yeah. One would say an NHLer.
Yeah. But, I mean, it took him a while, but...
Like, yeah.
Like, could you see him being like a Nichushkin?
Yeah, actually, I could see
that. I could see that.
Yeah.
That possibility.
Yeah,
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago Blackhawks, Colorado Avalanche, Andreas Englund for Jack Johnson.
Shut up!
No, this one's actually... This one needs to be said.
Like, Chicago Blackhawks, Jack Johnson. Okay, let's forget about them trading Patrick Kane and Jake McCabe and Sam
I'm not there yet. I'm not there. I'm going chronologically.
Yeah, I know, but we're going through every trade. It's just painful.
No, I'm not going through every trade.
Anyways.
The Jack Johnson
thing. Jack Johnson, it's Colorado's secret weapon.
I know, but here's...
He played like 18 minutes in his first game.
Yeah.
Back in Colorado.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the whole thing for Jack Johnson was just have him play for Colorado.
I wonder... Because
that's the team he plays well for.
No, but I wondered, and the reason why I brought this up is because I had something I wanted to say on it, which was...
Oh, okay.
I wondered if, like, there was, like, a backroom deal with Chicago, which was like, look, sign Jack Johnson, we'll take him off your hands at the trade deadline.
Maybe.
Just because we couldn't do it, so how we do it.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
I think it's hilarious. I think it's a funny trade, and I think it's worth saying. Okay, we're going reverse chronological, so we're at the Timo Meier trade.
Hey, everybody. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet of up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot at to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more, and hockey, too. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Best of all, DraftKings is safe and secure and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want.
Perfect.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply.
Timo Meier was traded for some stuff. One would say a lot of stuff.
Okay.
It was like a mystery box.
So I'm going to use this as a departure point for something that's a bigger picture thing, and that's the arms race in the Eastern Conference.
You're going to use something as a departure point?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I do. Like, I extrapolate.
Okay. Extrapolate.
You know what I mean? I think outside the box.
No. I've not known you to do that.
Okay.
No.
Anyways,
classic old
anyways,
hockey man loves fighting and knuckle dragging defensemen.
Shut up. I'm old. Yes. However, like, is Timo Meier not the best player of all the players we're going to talk about today?
Of the ones we're going to talk about today, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they.
I don't know if he's the best player that got traded though.
I think he might be.
Horvat might be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, but yes.
Yeah. So you get the best player.
Yeah.
You know? You don't give up. I was, quite honestly, underwhelmed by Mike Greer's performance in that trade.
Underwhelmed is the word I'd use as well.
I think Mikey got schooled on this one, in my opinion.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. Like, to me... New Jersey wanted this guy forever, right? Like, they coveted him.
Yeah.
And it was like, we want him. Tom Fitzgerald said basically after that was our guy, we wanted. So to me, under those circumstances, if I'm Mike Greer and Tom Fitzgerald phones me, I'm like, do not call me again. Don't call me again until you are ready to talk about one of Simon Nemec, Luke Hughes, or Alexander Holtz.
Yeah.
It can be any one of those guys, and it's probably going to be Alexander Holtz.
Mm-hmm.
But until you are prepared to make one of those guys part of this deal, we've got nothing to talk about.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Timo Meier currently has 31 goals.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Money Puck, his expected goals are 30.1. Meaning that...
So he's got 0.9 more goals than he was expected to get. Wow!
No, no.
Analytics!
Hear me out on this
one. Wow! Analytics is cool! He's got He's almost got one more goal than everybody expected. So that makes him a great player. Yay, analytics!
A very important aspect of analytics is dealing with the disparity.
Right.
Okay. The fact that he's well within the realm of reasonableness.
Yeah.
Having 31 goals and 30.1 expected goals means that
he scored as many goals as he was expected to.
Meaning that it's not just luck. It's not just shooting percentage.
Yeah.
It's not just any of those things. He's doing on the ice what is translating to the actual goals. As opposed to sometimes when you see a huge disparity, it concerns me. You went from screaming about analytics to sleeping about analytics very quickly.
Sorry.
Look, that's not for nothing. I would agree with you. Mike Greer really, really
think a rookie GM got hosed. I really do. And I'm sad about that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, some of the prospects they got, Mac Madulin's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who else, to be honest with you. But I mean, they're good. They're good. They're going to be good. To me, you've got to get one of those top prospects.
Yeah.
Oktyuk is the other guy. Like, good players, decent players. But to me, you're trading Timo Meier. This is your Matt Duchene trade. This is your, you know, whatever, Erik Karlsson trade. This is your, you got to get back, you know? Like, this is your Ryan O'Reilly trade.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get Tage Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you got to get a guy that is going to come in with the next couple of years and be like a significant impact player. And I'm just not sure that they got that.
So that's what my one thought was, which is that Tage Thompson, I don't think, was extremely highly regarded.
Depending on who you talk to. I was on the ice after the 2019 Stanley Cup,
mm-hmm.
after St. Louis won.
Yeah.
And I was with Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News.
Yeah.
He was there.
Yeah.
And Doug Armstrong saw his tag.
You guys weren't tweeting together, were you? Because that could have just exploded Twitter right then and there.
No. He saw Mike's media badge.
Yeah.
Saw that he was from the Buffalo News, and he made a point to say, you know, this trade doesn't look good now, but it's gonna work out.
Yeah.
It's going to work out for Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, and lucky that they did get the Thompson one because Sobotka was left and one of the other guys didn't, you know. So anyways.
With the Suzuki Pacioretty trade was that that Bergevin wanted Cody Glass. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And almost tanked the whole deal because he couldn't get Cody Glass and didn't want Nick Suzuki.
In addition to Suzuki?
No,
or?
He instead of Suzuki. The prospect he wanted was Cody Glass. But, hey, you know what? Turned out A-okay, if you ask me.
It sure did.
So I guess my point is that, you know, I want to just throw in some benefit of the doubt there.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike Greer's got an inside track on one of these prospects that we don't know. But from the outside.
Of course he does. He absolutely does. He knows way more about these guys than we'll ever know about them.
That's fair.
But I just think. I don't know. You know, to me, this is your Max Pacioretty trade. You gotta hit a home run.
You gotta hit. Yeah.
You've gotta hit a home run at least on potential. And how you can do it without one of Nemeth, Hughes, or Holtz, I don't see it.
Tampa Bay Lightning get Tanner Jeannot for Cal Foote, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a second, and a fourth, first,
and a sixth, and a ninth, and a
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I like it. Did we talk about this over the phone? I think we did.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I like it for both teams.
Yeah.
I don't think Tanner Jeannot is as good as he was last year, and I don't think he's as bad as he is this year.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
I think that what the Tampa Bay Lightning did was they went out and found Barkley Goodrow again.
So Tampa has this year a sixth and two seventh round draft picks.
Yeah.
Next year, a third, a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Yeah.
Anyways.
My buddy Al Murray, who's the director of player personnel and the head scout and all that for Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to be like, he'll be sitting in a game, I'm sure, on a Friday night in a junior rink somewhere far away from his house and going,
what am I doing here?
What the hell am I even doing here?
Yeah.
This game sucks. I haven't seen my family in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I've been on the road. What am I even doing here? We don't have any picks.
So I keep on hearing overpay, overpay, overpay for Tanner Janot.
And that's exactly what they did.
It is an overpay. Yeah, it is an overpay.
But did you see what Julien Brisebois said about it?
Yeah.
And he was bang on.
Yeah.
He was like, none of those picks is going to help us now. None of those guys is going to help us now. And see, to me, these aren't just trade deadline trades, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, you make the Brandon Hagel and Nick Paul deals last year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say irrespective because that's not even a word. Without, you know, like it's even if you're not going for it, that's a good trade.
Right.
Because you're giving up things you have no idea are what they're going to give you. For what you know is going to give you for a while.
Right.
At a good price.
Yeah.
Tanner Janot makes no money.
Yeah.
Tanner Janot makes no money.
Yeah.
And they control his rights for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So you're giving up a bunch of guys that you have no idea how good they're going to be. There's, you know, I mean, there's value on draft picks, but there's not value on draft picks. Like, the value really goes down, I say, once you get out of the top 10.
I'd agree.
Once you're out of the top 10,
you're throwing darts.
Sometimes you're throwing darts in the top 10.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so to me, like, you're getting a known quantity, a guy who, like, let's not forget, last year, Tanner Janot led all rookies in goals and penalty minutes.
Right.
You know?
That's a Tampa Bay type player.
That is a ready-made Tampa Bay John Cooper Trooper right there.
Cooper
Trooper. No, that's what he calls the guys that he really likes, Cooper's Troopers.
That's really funny.
Yeah, this guy's a Cooper.
That's a Mario reference, eh?
This guy, oh, is it?
Yeah, the Koopa Troopers were one of the turtle guys that flew around.
Oh, okay.
And Mario.
Yeah, anyways. I have no idea. But that guy's a Cooper Trooper.
Yeah.
Tanner Janot is a Cooper Trooper.
Yeah.
He will be Blake Coleman. He will be Barkley Goodrow. He will be, you know, all these guys that they've gotten in the past that are just arses to play against.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So two things about the concept of it being an overpay. One, have we not grown to trust Julien Brisebois yet?
Yeah. On these moves? Trust GM JB.
Yeah, because I've seen the cards floating around from different stats websites and different stats people on Twitter.
I love those cards when they make suggesting
that he's not very good.
And there's all kinds of numbers on them and like stuff that like colors.
Yeah,
and stuff like
they do have numbers and colors
and numbers and colors, and they look like an X-ray of somebody who's got something that's not really very good news.
Yeah,
yeah, I love those.
My point is that those cards analytics float around. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you know, do we not trust Julien Brisebois yet in terms of the way that they evaluate players?
Yep.
Secondly to that, I think that Tampa has created a very interesting situation, which is that they've found the market inefficiency, which is instead of blow your brains out on free agent day, blow your brains out at trade deadline day. And it's always this type of player that they go after on trade deadline day.
Right.
It's always this type of player. And so what they've realized is that this type of player is available every single trade deadline. And we can get him.
Yep.
We'll have to pay for him, but we can get him every single trade deadline. Because every single trade deadline they've gotten this player.
And I joked about Al Murray and how he's going to be sitting in an arena going, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But that's why they're able to make these trades.
Of course.
You know, and he's not going to be.
Al Murray is at a AAA game right now you might be in the seventh round. Yeah.
I was just joking about him wondering why he's out there. Like, they got Nick Perpix in the sixth round.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kid's come in and he's got 18 points.
Yeah, yeah.
As a defenseman.
Yeah.
Played on the U.S. Olympic team last year.
Yeah.
You know? They just keep finding those guys in the later rounds. And so when you have a guy that can find those kinds of guys, okay, sure. Well, you know, that for that reason, a first round pick doesn't have the same currency with them, because they might find a guy in the fifth who's just as good as two-thirds of the guys who went in the first.
Yeah.
Like Braden Point, you redo that draft, Braden Point's one of the top guys.
If you look at the odds of making the NHL,
yeah,
from the first to the second round, it drops off considerably.
Right.
The second to the third to the fourth to fifth to sixth, seventh, not much.
Well, I used to always, when the Detroit Red Wings were humming,
yeah,
I used to always, when I was at the draft, it'd be like, you'd be in the last round, whether that was the ninth or the 11th or the seventh, yeah, depending on what era.
Yeah.
And I'd always be like, when Detroit's pick came up, I'd always be like, okay, who's the guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame in 15 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Jake McCabe and Sam Lafferty for 2-0 prospects, a first and a second.
Yeah. Who are the prospects again? Joey Anderson.
Joey Anderson and Pavel Gogolev.
That's not nice.
By saying nothing prospects?
Yeah, like, let's be a little more. These kids have worked all their life to play in the NHL. Let's be a okay. little more. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's be a little
reverent?
More no, sensitive.
I'll be reverent.
Sensitive.
You can be irreverent.
Okay, like, man, what a couple of stiffs.
Hey, look, they're better hockey players than me. Let's do the
Leafs now.
Jeez, you made me feel really bad there.
Well, you should.
Okay, I probably should.
I mean, a guy who can't even make the Federal League is talking about other guys being lousy prospects?
Oh, piss off. All right, Jake McCabe and Sam Lafferty.
No, let's talk about the Leafs. Let's okay. do the Leafs as a whole.
Let's do okay? the Leafs as a whole.
So
they've made a few moves.
Yeah, they made a few moves. They basically... they did a home reno without tearing the house down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they basically remade their entire supporting
means no
cast.
building
permit. Right, exactly. Yeah. They basically, I'll take your word for it because you do that stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I don't even know what you do anymore. but but they've basically
remade. I talked to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They've basically remade their supporting cast.
Yeah.
Like it's a completely they've redesigned their supporting cast.
Yeah.
At basically every position but goal. And if they go out and get Jonathan Quick, I'm going to smash my head against a wall.
Right.
I am going to.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, okay.
but he never played in the Sioux.
No, that's true. That's so true. But Rasmus Sandin did. And he got dealt away.
That's true.
So, you know. But anyways, they've basically redone their whole supporting cast, right? Yeah. From Ryan O'Reilly down,
yeah.
You know? Which is great.
So Noel Achari, Sam Lafferty both go into your bottom six.
All we kept talking about was walk it back yeah. last year. And I was a big proponent of don't walk it back.
Yeah.
So they're not walking it back.
Yeah.
You know, there's a different vibe around this team. I think they're going to be a hell of a lot more difficult to play against.
Oh, there's no two ways about that.
I think they're going to be really.
They got Erik Gustafsson for crying out loud. If one guy says difficult to play against.
In practice. Yeah.
That was a joke.
I know.
Ken.
Montreal gave him up for a seventh round or got him for a seventh round pick like, what, 2 years ago?
3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
He came on board right before the Stanley Cup run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Played 2 minutes a night. And I'm like, not even exaggerating.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, that might be generous.
Mm. They will be more difficult to play against. They'll be grittier.
Though,
they're more battle hardened. They're better in the face-off circle. All those things, and I like what they've done. I like that Kyle Dubas is like all in.
Yeah,
and he's going for it and everything. But it's still
he has to be. He's on an expiring contract.
Well, he is, and he may very well, whether or not they win in the first round, he may very well have saved his job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they go out four straight and they lose every game by four goals, then yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But even if they like, even if they get even more mad respect from Tampa.
It's hard to argue with what they've done this
right,
offseason.
Right.
Yeah. This trade deadline.
Yeah.
I meant to say.
But what it comes down to, it's what it's still is going to come down to is the same thing that has come down to every year. what's her goaltending going to be like?
Yeah.
And are the Stars going to show up?
Yeah.
Like, you can go out and get all the Noel Acciaris and Luke Shens and Ryan O'Reillys and all those guys you want. You can do that.
Yeah.
But it comes down to Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Morgan Riley, William Nylander,
yeah,
and John Tavares. Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
How those guys perform.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you're not wrong, but I mean, guys like that always perform better when they're being supported.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not a hot take to say.
Exactly.
You're right. So if you can
keep John Tavares from having to take a bunch of draws,
yeah,
you know, and you throw Ryan O'Reilly in there,
yeah,
or you put Ryan O'Reilly with like two like incredibly smart players,
yeah,
you know, it'll be interesting to see if they go with O'Reilly as their third center, or they, you know, they stick him up with the other guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, no, they're a better team than they were like a month ago.
Big picture, they lose Sandin, they get Jake McCabe.
Yeah.
They get Erik Gustafsson.
Yeah.
They get
Ryan O'Reilly, Noel Acciari.
Sam Lafferty, Ryan O'Reilly, Noel Acciari.
Luke Shen is kind of the...
Oh yeah, they got Luke Shen.
The guy that's going to be their... insurance guy, you know.
I thought that Gustafsson was the insurance guy, but
might be.
Yeah. You know, big picture here on this team, they're a lot meaner.
Yep.
And you take none of the talent off of their roster.
Yeah.
Zero.
Because Sandin was not like Sandin, and I heard that, you know, that the Leafs weren't terribly thrilled with what he did.
In regards to which?
In regards to his contract.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Which I think if you're going to trade him for that reason, that's stupid. Yeah, that's stupid. Well, I mean, he didn't have a contract, and he withheld his services until he got one.
Yeah.
That's standard operating procedure in the NHL.
So you're going to trade him and you're not going to trade William Nylander for that?
Yeah, right, exactly. If you're going to trade him for that reason, and I don't think they did, I think they traded him because...
That sounds...
You know, Timothy Liljegren had way past him in the depth chart.
Yeah.
A bunch of guys had been better than him. He hadn't been that great. He kind of regressed and he wasn't very happy there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there much more to say on the Leafs? I mean, I think that
bring it on.
I think
bring on round one.
It's going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
It's going to just be really, really good. This is sort of a nothing trade, but...
Then why are we talking about it?
Well, the Oilers get rid of Puljujärvi. They finally move on from Puljujärvi.
That's not a nothing trade. That's such a Carolina trade.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a Carolina trade.
Yeah. Yeah. We can afford it with cap space. Yeah. That's what it comes down
to. Well, now we're going to find out. Now we're going to find out if all these Edmonton fans on Twitter were wrong and Jesse Puljujärvi was getting hosed in terms of ice time and role.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll probably find out. Although I don't know where he plays.
Yeah.
Like, he's not in their top six. He's not in Carolina's
top
six. Not a
chance. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think he's going to do well.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do well. His advanced numbers have always been good, and it normally just takes a matter of time.
Why don't we just put him in the Hall of Fame now? Because his advanced numbers have always shown that someday maybe he'll be a good player.
Moving on.
So let's put him in the Hall of... Let's just put him in right now.
Moving on. We actually have to move... We have to go back to the Leafs for just 1 second.
Why?
Just because it's the center of the universe.
Right. Okay.
We forgot to mention in the Gustafsson-Sandin trade, there was a first-round pick going back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you think that means they're not done? Do you think that that's them loading up for another big swing?
I think they are done, but it could...
I'm just asking, yeah.
No, no. Yeah. I think it's a relevant question, but you know, now we're sitting here going, are they done? And then, like I said, I'll drive out of your driveway and
All right. Well, we already talked about Matthias Ekholm.
That pick was Boston's pick, right? And they still have that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
So that'll be if Boston wins a Stanley Cup, that's a 32nd overall pick.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh
my God. Like, talk about scouts with nothing to do. Like, maybe they, like, don't they have to hang on to that pick? Don't they have to?
Well, Toronto Maple Leafs have a first, a fifth, and a sixth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, guys, don't even bother showing up for day one and just come for like, you know, come show up at 12:30.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On day two.
Quickly, Nyquist, Minnesota Wild, get him for a fifth round pick from Columbus Blue Jackets.
Huh?
Gustav Nyquist.
Yeah, yeah. Gustav Nyquist. Did you say Christoph Nyquist?
I said Gustav.
Gustav, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because I said it properly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's about a coin flip as to which one of us will pronounce the name right and which one will pronounce the name wrong on that particular day. But we do our best.
And so, usually it flips on Dylan's head. I can't believe some of the guys use names you butcher.
Look, I grew up with Coach's Corner, okay? What can I say?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Minnesota has been so low-key frisky in this trade deadline. Like, taking on cap space. Yeah. Being the middleman for cap space.
Yeah, yeah.
And getting picks. And then getting Gustav Nyquist for nothing. And you're like, how are you doing this with, like, $100 billion of dead cap from your buyouts?
Yeah, Yeah, but doesn't that really kick in next year?
It's this year and next year.
Next year and next year, eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways, it's interesting. Bill Guerin seems to...
Well, Bill Guerin, I talked to him last year.
Heck of a juggler is all I'm saying.
I talked to him last year and he said, I want to be making big deals at the trade deadline. I want to be that guy. Yeah, they got $12.7 million in caps in...
Yeah, 12.7 million this year, 14 next, 14 the next, and then it goes down to 1.6.
Right, right. So they go out and get Marcus Johansson.
Yeah.
Really good, useful playoff guy.
Yeah.
Who, you know, has been there and done it.
Yeah.
And they got somebody else, didn't they? Nyquist.
Yeah, Nyquist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean... It's kind of weird. Like, I don't really know which direction Minnesota seems to be wanting to take here. Right? Because when you're taking on cap in order to get picks, that normally means that you're taking a step back. But then they also seem to have high playoff aspirations.
They do. And they've actually been playing a lot better lately.
They have.
They've been playing a lot better. They're a bit of a strange team. You just don't know what to never know what to expect from them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Shall we to the New York Rangers?
Who?
the most profitable team in the NHL.
You said, shall we to the New York Rangers?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about some guy.
Oh,
I was like, who's the shall we guy?
Shall we to the New York?
I was trying to
add a little bit of class into this. Pray silence.
We shan't. We shan't.
Really? Yeah, or did you just want to say shan't?
I wanted to say shan't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, Tarasenko and Patrick Kane.
Yep.
What the hell, guys? Yep. You guys were already so deep on your wings.
On the wings, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys were so deep on the wings, like, it was like trying to swim in Lake Superior.
Yeah, that's not without the risk, though. I mean, they got, again, I was underwhelmed with the return that Chicago got.
For Patrick Kane?
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
You know why I wasn't, though?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were dealing with exactly one team bidding against themselves.
True.
And it was either get something for Patrick Kane from that team or get absolutely nothing from anybody ever.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like Chicago did pretty well given those circumstances.
The Rangers did a really good job of computer generating Patrick Kane into a Rangers uniform. And it looked really good. And it doesn't look like, I kind of thought seeing him in another team's uniform was going to look just so, so like not right.
Like watching Marty Brodeur play for the St. Louis Blues.
It looks okay. It looks okay.
Did you hear, by the way, that there's a story?
Daniel Alfredson in the Detroit Red Wings sweater.
Oh, that one was weird too.
That was weird.
When Marty Brodeur played his first game for the St. Louis Blues, he said that his groin was tight and asked the trainer what he could do. And the trainer put Icy Hot on his groin and he got off because it was burning. And almost didn't play the third period because his groin was on fire.
Wow.
Anyways, just released from a trainer.
I think that there have been some other guys in the NHL that have had to miss time for on fire groins.
Yeah.
Not because of Icy Hot.
Yeah, though. No, I get what you're saying here. Yeah. Yeah. Syphilis is really where we're going with this one. Yeah.
Maybe not that far.
No, but honestly, the New York Rangers, Like, Tarasenko made a lot of really good sense to me in the sense that he was what the Rangers are. He's tough to play against. He's talented. He's gritty. He's, you know, he's what you want out of a winger. And then Patrick Kane is just one of those, like, if you can have Patrick Kane, you take Patrick Kane, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with the resume. It's hard to argue with the fact that he would be the guy that, you know, they go to game seven.
Yeah, he'd be Patrick Kane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Zibanejad having another great year. Kreider mm-hmm. having mm-hmm. another great year. Mm-hmm. Panarin having a pretty good year. 67 points in 60 games.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. The only reason why I kind of hedged is because it's Panarin. And you know that it could be a little bit better.
Yeah.
But it's still a good year. I mean, like, you know what I mean?
I
Trocheck having a good year. Hedl having a good year. Kako even having a decent year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, geez.
This is going to be a fun series, too. This one's going to be a must watch.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, I like the New York Rangers and what's his name? Shesterkin. Again, he's been better, kind of coming into his own.
Yep.
A little bit up and down. Like, it's kind of like he's either going to make a 90 save shutout or, you know, get 20 pulled. Goals on 10 shots. Yeah, yeah. You know, I always
that's
go back
impossible.
To the. What? I always go to the Grateful Dead line. It is a 9 mile skid on a 10 mile ride. You know, like you never, but that being said, I mean, those bad games happen few and far between. I mean, of course, every goalie has a bad game.
Right,
and
right.
And the thing that I always say about goaltending is you only lose a game once.
Right.
So let in those 10 goals.
Yeah.
Just don't do it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah.
If you let in four, might as well let in another six.
Yeah, exactly.
But just don't do it tomorrow.
What the hell?
Yeah. Tomorrow you're back to being who you ought to be. And, you know, I mean, that's been Vasilevsky's strength.
Mm-hmm.
Never has two bad games in a row. That's mm-hmm. kind of the mm-hmm. narrative around him. And, mm-hmm. you know, boy.
I wonder if Colorado's just sitting there going, yeah, go ahead, beat your brains out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been wondering this about the Western Conference as well. Because, I mean, firstly, we know that Colorado is not what Colorado was last year.
They're starting to become that again. Without Cale Makar and without Gabriel Landeskog, what do they want? Six in a row?
Yeah. Against the depleted Western Conference teams.
Yeah, the ones that they're going to have to play to get through to the Stanley Cup final, you mean?
Right, but what I'm saying is that I almost wonder if there's like an understanding in the West that other than Colorado and Vegas, and even with them to an extent, was there anything that any of those teams could have done at the trade deadline to make themselves Stanley Cup contenders?
Well, I mean, would you not argue that Edmonton did it?
Yeah.
Like, does one player, does that one acquisition?
That's a big acquisition.
Does it move the needle that much?
So I mentioned to a friend that I thought that Joel Edmondson was the best, more defensive defenseman left available on the market. And because he's got a pretty good ability to move the puck as a defensive defenseman, I didn't. And so I said, I think that Edmonton would be crazy not to go for him, but
Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, just for that.
But I didn't realize that, like,
Phoenix Copley should be playing for the Arizona Coyotes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I heard that Ekholm might be available, I didn't put much stock in it. I thought that it was just a scurrilous rumor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know how deep the cuts were going to go in Nashville. And let me tell you, I mean, like, if that's the typecast that you want, and you're Edmonton, you want a 200-foot defenseman, yeah, you take it. But I don't know if Edmonton's got a true chance at the cup. What do you think?
It's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Yeah. So anyways, that's why I just wonder if the reason why the Western Conference.
Not if they start Jack Campbell in the playoffs, they don't. No, I'm serious. Like.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, and I said it last week, just abandon this notion.
Right.
Like, forget it. He's not. You got Stuart Skinner, and he's okay. Right?
Yeah.
So play the okay guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you might as well.
Yeah.
Like I said, offseason changes. Jack Campbell, at this stage in the game, the changes that need to be made to his game in order to accommodate Edmonton's style of defense, those aren't little tweaks.
Yeah.
Those are offseason changes.
Yeah.
We saw him succeed in Toronto because he was able to make tweaks to his game that led to whatever. Talking myself around in circles here.
And he was probably playing, like, truth be told, he was probably playing in front of a much better defensive team.
Oh, 100%.
What? Probably wasn't.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So before we get out of here, I just want to throw this out there. Money Puck for chance of winning the Cup has Carolina at 17.1%. Edmonton second at 14.1%.
Second?
Second.
Who are these guys?
It's moneypuck.com.
What's that?
Pretty well-known stats website, kind of a betting aid sort of thing, right? Toronto at 10.4%, third. Boston at 10%, fourth. Calgary at 6.2%, then Winnipeg, 6%. Dallas, 5%.
Where's Tampa? Where's Colorado?
Tampa's down at 4.3%. Colorado's down at 2.6%.
Where's Boston?
I already said Boston. Boston's fourth at 10%.
See, that's interesting that you say that, right?
I'm not saying that.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. But like, no team has even a bet. No team in the NHL has a better than 1 in 5 chance of winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you think of it that
way. Yeah.
Like, and I talked to John Cooper about this before they got smoked in the first round by Columbus.
Yeah. Do you think the
year they were so good? And he said, well, you know, like, what would you do if you could take either us or the field?
Yeah.
Who are you going to take? You're going to take the field every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways,
so who did they have first, the top team?
Carolina.
Huh. Wonder what they don't like about Boston.
I don't know. It's all proprietary. So they're doing a mix of different things.
Okay.
To make their proprietary, win percentage, right?
All right.
Either way, I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't either. I don't agree with it.
I've got time for Carolina, Toronto, Boston. Edmonton's way too high.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, way too high. Yep.
Calgary, Tampa's Winnipeg, and Dallas are way too high.
Tampa and Carolina and Columbus, or Tampa and
Colorado
are way too low.
Yeah.
Like, Tampa has a 1 in 25 chance of winning the Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Well, I don't know. How long have we gone today?
Just over an hour, hour and 5 minutes.
That's a nice sweet spot for us.
I'd say so.
Yeah. I mean, there's really not much left to...
Yeah, after you've talked for an hour about, every different trade that's happened in the history of the NHL.
Well, I think we should probably throw out our Stanley Cup pick now.
Ooh.
I think that is...
Really?
Yeah, I think you've got to do it. We've got to do it.
Okay, do you want to do one pick and one dark horse?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, go for it.
My pick is Boston.
Your pick is Boston.
Yeah, no, I'm just done overthinking stuff.
When did you start overthinking stuff?
No, but like, let's not overthink this.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I mean, they're the best. They've been, from the beginning of the year till now, the best team in the league. They got better.
Yeah.
At the trade deadline. They shed salary. Like, it just seems like it would be falling into place big time. Dark horse. How do you define a dark horse? Like, is Toronto a dark horse?
Toronto's a dark horse.
Okay.
You taking Toronto?
Yeah, I guess that'll be my dark horse.
Oh, boy. There's so many teams that I like on this list.
Like, Vegas, no. That wouldn't be my dark horse,
Like,
is Tampa a dark horse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the lightest of dark horses.
Okay.
It's a very light gray horse is what it is. Like, I don't like Boston to win the Cup. I've said it before. I say it again.
Okay.
There's just something that's missing with that team.
What? Name it. Name what they're missing.
Okay.
Linus Ullmark scored a goal in one game and then stopped 53,000.
We need to talk about that.
Scored a goal in one game.
Linus Ullmark for Vezina.
Then the next game stopped 54 shots.
Linus Ullmark for Vezina.
Okay, sure.
That's my pick now.
I'm there. Yeah.
I know, but I wasn't there.
Okay.
And I'm there now after the goal.
But what's your... After the goal?
After the goal.
Did you see him stop 54 or 57 shots last night?
Yeah, I've seen him have lots of great performances tonight.
What are they...
I also saw Connor Hellebuck stop 50 shots.
You're not getting out of this. What are they missing? What are they missing?
They're missing my love and admiration is what they're missing, okay? And as we all know, no team wins the Stanley Cup without my personal seal of approval.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, what are they missing?
I would like to still see them maybe be able to be more dynamic offensively.
It's not that they're missing something.
Yeah.
It's that it's a grind to win 16 games in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, they don't know anything about a grind.
Patrice Bergeron, it almost killed him when he was 10 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
12 years younger. Pardon me.
They went to the final. It'll be now 4 years ago.
Right, but anyways, you hear what I'm saying. Yeah. This is. I'm not saying that they don't know anything about a grind. I'm just saying that when your core is that old, it is a huge grind. We saw San Jose do something similar when they went to the Stanley Cup final, and it had that last dance vibe for Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau, and I think Dan Boyle was on that team, and there's a lot of great players that were there. Obviously, whatever. I don't need to list off all the San Jose players. Yep. But my point is that they were an excellent team that went to the final, and it just seemed as though it broke them getting there.
Oh.
Anyways.
Okay.
And also Boston, it just feels like they're shooting their wad in the regular season. I don't know. You get what I'm saying? There's just something about Boston that I'm just not quite there with them.
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, I was the one that brought up 71, right?
Yeah.
But in the first round, I just like, can Pittsburgh, come on.
I don't think that Pittsburgh beats them in the
Islanders,
first round.
Pittsburgh, you know, whoever it is, Florida, it's probably not going to be them.
I don't think that Pittsburgh beats them in the first round, but I think that Toronto or Tampa could both beat
them. Maybe Toronto.
I think that Toronto and Tampa both have a very good chance of beating them.
Okay.
Okay. So look. I like Toronto. I like Tampa. I like Carolina. I like the New York Rangers.
No, you're supposed to be
I like the Dallas Stars. I like the Colorado Avalanche. I like the Vegas Golden Knights. There is so much to choose from. I got to pick one.
Yeah, that's the way this works.
Okay. My dark horse is the New York Rangers.
Okay.
My dark horse is the New York Rangers. My pick is the... Boy, I wasn't prepared for this. My pick, your winner of the 2023 Stanley Cup will be none other than my most reviled Tampa Bay Lightning.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah. Boy, it's tough to bet against those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But my dark horse is, you know what? And if Carolina had Patch Ruddy, they might have been my pick.
Right.
You know? And geez, he looked good when he got back. Really, really sad that he got re-injured.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Yeah, he looked really good. All right, should we get out of here?
I think we can probably put a bow on this one.
Hit the old dusty trail. Check out kencampbell.substack.com. Check us out on Twitter at HockeyNoFilter, at Ken_Campbell27, and of course at _DillonWaugh. Don't forget to leave a review. We love them, and we will talk to you next week.